Hello, it is Friday, October 1st. I am Trent Reinsmith. This is another edition of the Come On Now MMA podcast. And here are some of the subjects we'll be going over today. Talk a bit about John Jones, his arrest and the reaction to it. Aspen Ladd misses weight. John Jones dealing with his alcohol problems, but not any of his other problems. UFC has the means to fix weight cutting, but they are not going to do so. Jake Paul announces he's formed a fight promotion company, and I'm intrigued. And a little bit on the fact that I do not write things for clicks, contrary to what many people may believe, and I want to clear that up. And this is related to the story I wrote on about Joe Rogan on Bloody Elbow. And with that, on with the show. All right. So by now, everyone knows John Jones was arrested. Domestic violence case in Las Vegas in the aftermath of him being inducted into the UFC Hall of Fame in the fight wing. He's been released. He's made some posts on social media, and I'm not going to discuss any of that really right now because I'm still trying to fully wrap my head around all the details and get something in my mind that makes sense instead of just reacting off the cuff on that, because I think it's when it comes to domestic violence, when it comes to everything that might be going on with John Jones, I think it's kind of important to approach that in a more focused manner. And so that is my plan on that. I'm probably going to try and have something for that on Monday or Tuesday, but early next week for sure. So, but what I want to talk about now is the reaction of folks like Daniel Cormier, Michael Bisping, and Chael Sonnen. Now, all have come out and spoken out against John Jones, and that's no surprise. Cormier went so far as to say that he wanted the UFC code of conduct to be enforced, which we know the UFC code of conduct is a thing. We also know that it hasn't been enforced for several years because the UFC just doesn't like to do that. Cormier, I think, is taking that a little personally, because where was all the calls for the code of conduct when it was someone else? So you can't say, I want the code of conduct applied to John Jones. Well, you're also ignoring the fact that you didn't say a damn thing when Conor McGregor punched a man in the head in a bar, or when Conor McGregor threw another man's phone on the ground in Florida. So you don't get to selectively say you want the code of conduct to be enforced, because that's not what a code of conduct is. A code of conduct is not a vendetta against one person that you personally don't like. And I think that's what Cormier is kind of in his head about here. And if Cormier wants the code of conduct to be enforced across the board, fairly, evenly, and without bias, I'm all for that. But I don't think that's what he wants, because he has never spoken up about a code of conduct before John Jones got in trouble. So save me that. As far as another issue I have with all three of these men is that they are employed by the UFC. Now, whether they're saying these things on their podcasts or on their own accord or on their own time, that's fine. But remember, all three of these men are employed in some form by the UFC. And so take their words with a grain of salt. I'm not saying the UFC is telling them to say these things. I'm also not saying that the UFC doesn't mind when they say these things. Because big picture, the longer John Jones is out, the longer John Jones can't fight or won't fight or is tied up in the court system, the worse it is for John Jones and the better it is for the UFC, because let's face the facts, the odds of John Jones being released are slim to none. And what the UFC gets out of this is a desperate John Jones who is forced to sit out or is sitting out on his own accord, but his value plummets when these things happen, and therefore the UFC can make him wait and make him accept the amount that they are willing to pay him. And so when folks like Daniel Cormier Chael Sonnen and Michael Bisping pile on top of John Jones and kick him. And I'm not saying he doesn't deserve to be kicked in some respects, because he is the one creating these problems. No one else is. Las Vegas is not. Alcohol is not. John Jones is. So, but when they do that, the end result is it makes the UFC, well, I won't say happy, it makes the UFC, it puts the UFC in a better situation when it comes to dealing with John Jones. And I have no expectation the UFC is going to do anything about this, anything at all, because if it was gonna, it already would have. And so the UFC will keep John Jones, but what this does for the UFC is it allows them to pay John Jones less, because John Jones just decreased his own value by doing these things. That is shitty and cynical. I 100% agree with that. But it's also, I know what the UFC has been doing with John Jones and Conor McGregor over the past few years. So it's not something that you can say is untrue. Aspen Ladd looked awful on the scale for UFC Vegas 38. She was shaky. It took somewhere between 2 and 3 minutes to get a good reading on her weight. And when that reading was taken, it was, I think, a pound over the limit with the allowance. So technically 2 pounds over the official weight, 1 pound over the weight with the pound allowance. And she didn't look good. She did not look good at all. She released a statement as to why she missed weight. And that's all well and good. But during that statement, some things came out that bothered me. The first thing that bothered me was that Ladd said that it was not the UFC or the Nevada State Athletic Commission that canceled the fight, that it was her opponent, Macy Chazon, who said she did not want to fight Ladd, which is 100% Chazon's right, because Ladd did not meet her contractual obligations, and therefore Chazon has the option not to fight her. And so she elected not to fight her. And that's her decision. 100% her decision. 100% a decision that cannot or should not be criticized, because she has her reasons to make it. And she can make that decision because her opponent did not live up to the contract. Chazon did. I thought it was shitty that Ladd kind of put the onus on Chazon when she said that it was her decision to not take the fight, because it moves the goalpost a little bit and kind of erases the reason that Chazon was in that position. And the reason, the direct reason, the direct cause, the root cause was that Aspen Ladd missed weight and did not fulfill her part of the contract. So Chazon is at no fault here. The part that bothered me more than Ladd trying to kind of make Chazon look bad was that the UFC, at least according to Aspen Ladd, the UFC and the Nevada State Athletic Commission were okay with letting this fight go on after what they saw on the scale. I have seen no statements from the UFC nor the Nevada State Athletic Commission saying why they were okay with that, but I would really want to know why, because the eye test, Ladd 100% failed the eye test, and this is not the first time, so that makes it even more egregious. She's struggled on the scale a couple times now and not looked good any of those times. So when you ignore the past, that makes things look even worse. So the question to the UFC and Nevada State Athletic Commission is, what made you think that Aspen Ladd, looking at what you saw this time and what you know from what happened in the past, what made you comfortable to okay the fight? And I would extend that and say not the answer for that should not come from Dana White or someone high up in the UFC or someone high up in the Nevada State Athletic Commission. The answer to that question should come from the physicians who said that they approved Aspen Ladd to fight, because eye test, she failed the eye test miserably. And I think her past misses and her past problems on the scale should definitely come to play in calling that fight. But that didn't happen. At least as far as we know, that didn't happen. If some facts are missing in here, and the UFC and Nevada State Athletic Commission actually did waive the fight off, great. Kudos to them. But from what we know right now, 9:30 on a Friday night before the event, that didn't happen. And so someone in the MMA media who can get these answers from the UFC or the Nevada State Athletic Commission, and I am not one of those people. I don't get an answer from either of those organizations anymore for I don't know why. I mean, I do know why, but I think that why is petty and childish, but that's their decision. They don't have to answer me, and I can say that their decision not to answer me is childish and petty. But to let the UFC and Nevada State Athletic Commission skate here on why they would not have waived off that fight is a big problem if the MMA media allows them to get away with that. And this isn't a question you can allow to be blown off. This is fighter health and safety. And if the UFC and Nevada State Athletic Commission don't care about fighter health and safety, well, that's kind of why they're there. So that question needs to be answered. And Ladd dumping on Chaisson and pointing fingers and saying, well, it was her that said that she didn't want to fight, even though Ladd said, yeah, that's her right, that doesn't make it okay. I mean, you can say, yeah, that's her right, but after you've already kind of pushed down and said, well, the fight could have happened, but she didn't want it, the implications there, you made your statement. You don't get to say, well, I understand, or that's her right after that. You just don't bring that up because you, Aspen Ladd, failed to meet your contracted part, your part of the contract. So Paizan's not at fault, you're at fault. John Jones, I'm not, well, I will say something on John Jones, obviously, since I just brought it back up. The post, I think it was on Instagram, where he talked about putting alcohol behind him and focusing and all that was something that kind of bothered me. It did bother me. John Jones has, I mean, I don't think I'm out of line in saying that John Jones has some kind of personality issue, whether it be an addictive personality, which is what I think I see here, because it's something that if you know you have an addictive personality, you know to avoid certain things or else you're going to get in trouble. And that's one reason I don't do a lot of things that could caused me to get in trouble because I know what my personality is. Now, John Jones might be aware of that, but I don't think he is implementing anything to control that. The thing that concerned me most about this John Jones thing about the cutting alcohol out of his life is that in from what I've seen and from personal experience and experience with others is if you have problems or issues or whatever you want to call them, cutting out the alcohol will, I mean, it'll probably improve them in the short term, but the alcohol is usually not the cause. The alcohol is part of the symptom, and until you address the symptom or address the problem, cutting out the alcohol is not, it may, like I said, it might make things better short term and long term. But it's not going to erase the problem. And I think that's where John Jones is going to have a problem here. As even if he does cut out the alcohol, even if he does refocus, the personality problem or whatever kind of problem it is, be it a personality problem, be it a mental health problem, be it a whatever, that's still going to be there. And he said in that thing that there was trauma associated with. Well, if you don't address the trauma, and just address the alcohol, the trauma is still there, and the trauma is the root cause of the problem. So that's what needs to be addressed, and that is the hard part. And if until that it gets addressed, there's not going to be a real resolution here. It's just going to maybe get lessened, or maybe get pushed kind of to the side, but it's still going to be there. And so if I could offer advice to John Jones, which I know I can't because I don't think anyone can at this point, is that deal with the root cause. You know, according to that post, you know the root cause is some kind of trauma that was addressed. Deal with that. The alcohol is just a part of it. So if I could offer that, I just did, didn't I? So, but I don't think until that gets, dealt with, that we're going to see any real substantial change in John Jones. Like I said, it might be delayed. There might be a longer gap between issues, but the issues will remain because the trauma remains. And that's just speaking from experience and from being around people who've had these kind of issues. So I hope someone from John Jones's camp, someone that he knows that he's friendly with, someone from the UFC offers him some kind of help and some kind of assistance to say, this is what you need to address. Speaking of that, Dana White said that John Jones should have stopped with the alcohol about 10 years ago or something to that effect. And that bothered me because I would ask Dana White in the UFC, what help have they offered John Jones or any fighter for that matter, when it comes to substance abuse or mental health issues? Does the UFC have an employee assistant program? Can the UFC fighters who are not employees call to get free help, to get free assistance with problems, emotional problems, mental health problems, addiction problems, substance abuse problems? Is there something out there for the UFC fighters? Does the UFC offer help, or does it only offer lip service and bad advice? Just saying, you should have cut out the alcohol 10 years ago does not address anything. It just makes you seem kind of callous, cold, and uncaring, and like you're putting the problem all on the shoulders of the UFC fighter. And if you cared about him, if you cared about these fighters, you would offer them assistance and help. And I don't think that's forthcoming. So for Dana White to sit up there and try and, be high and mighty and say, well, he needs to clean himself up. Well, what are you doing to help him clean himself up? Because you're making more money off his back than he's making off his own efforts. And we know the UFC loves money. So if it wants to keep that money pouring in, even if it's just for that reason, it should offer help to the fighters. Even if it's something so callous as it's just that we need that person to fight so we can make more money. Even if it's that should be enough to offer help. But I don't think the UFC does that. I hope they change their tune on that. But I think that then that becomes a thing where that's a benefit and that leans forward a little closer to making the fighters employees rather than independent contractors. And we know, God forbid, the UFC has the fighters and as employees and not independent contractors. Kind of along those same terms as the weight cutting. So we saw Macy Chison, I'm sorry, we saw Aspen Ladd struggle on the scale and miss weight. The UFC needs to do something about weight cutting. It can pass the buck and say the fighters are on their own here. It can pass the buck and say the athletic commissions have to deal with it. But when someone, let's say it happens, and that when someone dies from weight cutting in the UFC, the press and everyone's going to point at the UFC, not at the athletic commission, not at the independent contractors, but directly at the UFC and Dana White and say, why did you not fix this when you had the chance? And you have the chance. Not only do you have the chance right now, you have the means. But again, it would cause the UFC would have to put out money and would probably have to make the fighters employees to have to make this change. So the way to make the change is you use the UFC Performance Institute to bring all the fighters in, not at once, obviously, but you bring them in. You have them go through the physicals. You have them go through the top to bottom physical, and check everything out. And then the doctors, nutritionists, make a decision who, at what weight should that fighter be fighting so that they're not stressing their body and damaging it more than they're already doing just by fighting. So you do that. You get a good read on the proper amount of body fat, the proper amount of muscle, everything you need to get. To get a good understanding of what's the optimal competition weight of that fighter. And then you mandate that that fighter compete in that weight class. And if they don't want to, you release them and let them go somewhere else, that'll let them do what they want. But then you mandate that, and then you follow that fighter, and every fighter, throughout the year, and do checks and make sure they're maintaining proper weight. But UFC can't do that right now because independent contractors, they can't be handled that way because they're not employees. So what the UFC would have to do, and has the money to do, has the means to do all of this, is make the fighters employees, give them health benefits, and then this all comes into one big, it all falls under that heading, health and safety as an employee of the UFC. But the sticking point here again is the UFC is not going to make the fighters employees. They're just not going to do that. Jake Paul announced that he is starting a fight promotion company, and the first fighter he has with that promotion company is Amanda Serrano, and I'm intrigued. I'm very intrigued by this. So Jake Paul has been a disruptive force in combat sports. We've seen that. He's made some enemies in Dana White. He said the right things when it comes to fighter pay. I don't know if he's done the right things when it comes to fighter pay, but now is his opportunity to start showing that he is more than focused on Jake Paul. Will he do that? I don't know. History says probably not, but he also knows that if he can be a disruptive force in combat sports and use the attention that by picking on the UFC pay structure gets him, if he can do that, then that is a benefit to him as well. But it's also going to cost him some money, and that he'll have to fork out more money than someone like the UFC does. So will his actions match his words at this point is what I am intrigued to see. We know Jake Paul is, for the most part, mostly focused on the business and the success of Jake Paul, but maybe he has this in him to be a disruptive force in combat sports. I'm not going to say he doesn't. I'm not going to say he does. I am going to say I am intrigued, and I'm going to watch to see what happens here. I'll be more shocked if he is a force for good than he is for a force for Jake Paul, but that's just kind of the feeling I get whenever I see Jake Paul, is that his main concern is Jake Paul and nothing else. Maybe I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But just that this is happening and there's a chance that he could be this disruptive force is a positive. And I think we should all give him a chance to see what he does. And if he turns out to be just another exploiter of athletes, well, then he deserves all the criticisms he gets. But if he turns out that he's a force for good, well, good for him. One thing I will say on this Joe Rogan fiasco is that the article I wrote for Bloody Elbow that Joe Rogan can and should be replaced, I stand by everything I wrote in that. I understand that a lot of the complaints were based on things that what Joe Rogan did and not what Joe Rogan does for the UFC. But the UFC was, and will always be a what have you done for me lately promotion. And so I don't think those arguments hold a lot of water. I don't care that Joe Rogan worked for free, 20 years ago or whatever. That's not what he does now. So what you did in the past, while it's cute to look back on and nice and makes your point a little more believable, big picture is Joe Rogan is not working for free right now. Big picture is Joe Rogan is only working 12 weekends a year, maybe. And so I saw, that I was a liar and misrepresented and all this other stuff. But no one pointed directly to a lie or a real argument to make that I was wrong or that I didn't have a point. It was just a big brush. These are lies or a gif or a meme or shut up or, Joe Rogan is the man. But there was no real defense or no real argument that I saw against what I wrote. And I just want to say that it's an opinion and my right to have an opinion. Now, the thing that bothers me is that people write that I just do these things for clicks. And I think John Kavanaugh wrote that. John McCarthy agreed with it. Josh Thompson and whoever. That is not true at all. I've said this from the get-go. If I write it, I believe it, and I can defend it and will defend it. And I think the fact that no one pointed out anything that was egregiously, quote unquote, a lie in that opinion story tells me that they don't like it, but they can't say that I'm indefensible in my remarks. And so I stand by it. I will always stand by it. And I don't really care that it gets criticized. Sure, it sucks to get attacked left and right and to get threatened, but that's part of the job. So I don't write things for clicks. And even if, because what does that get me? I don't get paid by how many clicks I get. My pay is the same. If the story gets read once or the story gets read 100,000 times, my pay is the same. Now, if it gets read once, I'm sure I won't have a job that much longer, but the pay is still the same for that month. So the click thing is a joke to me. It's an easy way to dismiss the story. It's an easy way to not deal with what gets said inside the story. It's an easy way to not have to argue your point when you just say, well, that's just for clicks. And then everyone else agrees with, well, not everyone, but a good portion of the MMA world agrees with that because it's easier to agree with it than to try and tear it apart. I don't do things for clicks. I believe what I write. I write what I believe, and that's kind of the way I was, have been since I was a teenager. I'm willing to put a finger in your eye, to make a point. You don't have to like it, you don't have to agree with it, but it's my opinion, and if I'm going to write it, if I'm going to put it out there in the world, it's an opinion I stand behind. I don't do things for clicks. I don't understand the concept of doing things for clout. That's silly. I'm a grown man. I don't need clout. I don't need clicks. Just do my job, believe what I say, and I'll defend what I say. So I just wanted to add that because that kind of bothered me because it misrepresents what I do. It moves the goalpost a little bit and makes it easy for folks to not really have a point about what they are mad about in the story. They just say, well, that's clicks. That's for clickbait. That's just clicks. Not me, man. Not me. And still, I'm gonna still write what I want, write what I believe, and that's just the way I am. And on that note, I will call it a night. Be back Sunday, Monday with more, including what happens at UFC Vegas 38. So until then, everyone, stay safe.